So this is like my fifth time preaching the last 28 hours. So, but I have to tell you that despite preaching at all four services at the Oakland campus to, I don't know what we run there, 1,600 or 1,700 adults probably, I was way more excited to come here and preach tonight. Because as you will find out as I go along, the journey of how I ended up as the executive pastor over the Mosaic Church kind of network of our different campuses is directly tied to you guys here at the Disney campus, to what you're doing here. In fact, it would be entirely accurate if I said that if the Disney campus did not exist, I probably wouldn't be serving as the executive pastor at Mosaic. And we'll get into that as we go along. But real quick, just kind of to set that up a little bit, you know those annoying people that come to your attraction or wherever you're working, and they seem to know, like, every little detail about it, like they know, you know, what Imagineer worked on this, and they can explain to you like every window on Main Street, and they've got all these details down. Do you know the people I'm talking about? I'm one of them. All right, so that's just kind of a little bit of, you know, I know all the details going back to 1971 and, you know, why this brick is there and all. And you're probably thinking, like, why do you even care? It is just, it's a ride. Get over it. But look, that's just, you know, some people are like that, and I'm one of those people. We moved here in the beginning of July, and we got here at like 11 o'clock on a Monday morning. And I insisted that as soon as we unloaded the minivan, we had to go straight to the DMV because we needed to get Florida driver's licenses. Why? So we could get the Florida resident annual pass for Disney, right? So we got here at like 11 o'clock on a Monday morning, and by 5 p.m. we were having like a celebratory dinner at the Polynesian Hotel. And, you know, that night, you know, we're on Main Street watching fireworks with our kids. So that was like our first day here in Florida. That's how much of a fan I am. So it's just great to be here with you guys tonight. So Brady asked me to share some of my story tonight of kind of how all of this kind of came to play and how we ended up here at Mosaic and how you guys fit into that. And that story is really, it's kind of a crazy journey that we've been on over the last couple of years. But that story is really a story about prayer. It's really all about prayer and about seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance in ways that honestly I had not done previous to this in my life. So let me tell you about that journey of prayer. We all know that prayer is important, right? Like, you came here to Mosaic Church at Walt Disney World. You have some sense that prayer should be an important part of our life. You know, we pray all the time. My wife and I, we pray about all kinds of stuff, and we see those answers in all different kinds of ways. But if you kind of pull the camera lens back on your life a little bit, and you ask yourself, okay, over the course of my years, what are the things that really stand out, where I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God just kind of stepped in and said, I want you to step here, and now I want you to step here, and now take a right, and now take a left, and you've just known exactly that God was guiding you through a particular journey. If you think about it at that kind of level, the number of things where you would say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was guiding me, that might shrink a bit if you kind of define it in that really complex and kind of detailed way. And so for me, there's just a few that really stand out. One of the first ones that stands out is when I was in college. So just, you know, fair warning here, that's like 20 years ago for me. But I met my wife during college. She's over here tonight. And kind of funny story about how we met, actually. So her fiance lived across the hall from me in the dorms. So you can see how well that worked out for him. But, you know, for the first couple of years that I knew Amy, we were just really good friends. And we were really good friends. We hung out all the time. And, in fact, we hung out so much that people were always confusing us as dating. And we just kind of would always dismiss it and say, that's crazy. That would just ruin our friendship if we ever dated. I mean, that would just be nuts. Why would we do that? And we both kind of felt that way. We had no romantic interest in each other. And then one year, as the fall semester came to a close and we were all kind of getting ready for Christmas break, it seemed like in a course of just a week, a number of people that I didn't even really know seemed to confuse Amy and I as dating. Like, I was in the library one night studying, and this guy walks up to me and he says, hey, I'm in a class with your girlfriend, and I need her notes from earlier today. Do you know where she is? And I'm like, I don't actually have a girlfriend right now. I'm not sure. Maybe you got me confused with someone else. And he's like, no, Amy, you know, the girl you're always with. Oh, right, we're just friends, but yes, she is studying at this table. She just left for a minute. She'll be back in just a minute. So that just seemed to happen again and again, and I thought, okay, now on the off chance, just on the off chance that God might be trying to tell me something in the midst of this week leading up to Christmas break, all these people are confusing us as dating. Just on the off chance, maybe I should pray about it. So I decided that for the 30 days that I'd be away for the Christmas break, I would just take some time and pray about it. Every single day, I would pray about whether or not God wanted me to just be open to Amy as something more than just a friend. And so I did that, prayed about it every day, kind of in the idea of Psalm 73, where it tells us that it's good to be near God. I just kind of placed myself before God and said, I'm open. I don't feel that way, but I'm open. You just tell me what you want me to do. And so we did. Prayed about that every single day for 30 days. And at the end of those 30 days, you know, I didn't walk away with like illumination-style fireworks going off in my brain for Amy. It was just, you know, it was, okay, she's nice. But there was one particular thing that stood out after those 30 days. And this is going to sound like doesn't quite match up, but here's what seemed to stand out. You're either gonna be friends with her for a couple of years while you're in college, and then that'll come to an end, or you're gonna spend the rest of your life with her. And I felt like God was saying, you should pursue her. But pursue her with marriage in mind. And so I did that. And she completely rejected me. I mean, full on, like, I don't really feel that way about you. It's not you, it's me, really, you know. And so she rejected me, but I eventually wore her down. You know, I just kind of, like a dripping faucet that won't go away, I just kind of wore her down, and she finally gave in, and we've been married for 15 mostly wonderful years. And it all started with 30 days of focused prayer. So fast forward now, about 5 years after Amy and I had gotten married, finished seminary, and we had one child, and I was sort of the lead pastor of a church plant, an 8-year-old church plant in New York. And things were going well. God was blessing the church. We were growing. We were seeing people come to Christ. Leaders were being raised up. All the good stuff that you want to see as a pastor. All that good stuff was happening. And yet, I had this scary realization and recognition that this role that I was in, this lead pastor role, may not actually be the best for who God had created me to be. That perhaps there was this other role, this executive pastor role, what is sometimes called a second chair role, that I was actually a better fit for. That I would actually give God a greater return on the investment that he had made in me if I were to climb down the ladder and step into that executive pastor role. And so it was during that season of prayer, as I really prayed about this potential change in life direction, it was during that season of prayer that God really spoke to me, and he said, look, the rest of your life, here is your job. Your job is to come alongside of highly gifted communicator visionaries who have a potential to make a generational impact, but who on their own may lack the organizational ability to get that vision off to its full potential and to its full reality. Out of that calling, I had the privilege of working with a great lead pastor in New York by the name of Ed Marcel, and we planted a very unique multi-campus church in New York that really established kind of a launching point for church planting in the Northeast through the network that we were a part of called the Acts 29 Network. And I believe that we made an impact on a generation of church planters. As we watched our region, we started the Northeast region for Acts 29, and we watched it grow from one church plant to 40 church plants in roughly a decade. And we saw churches established in some of the least Christian, evangelical, least Christ-following cities in all of America in the Northeast. And that was an amazing ride, and I wouldn't trade those 10 years for anything. And yet, a little over 2 years ago, as I was actively rethinking and kind of retooling our church to accommodate the growth that we were experiencing and getting us ready to become a multi-campus, multi-location church, God began to instill in me this uneasiness, this restlessness, this feeling that that there was something else going on, and I can only really describe it ultimately as a holy discontent. You know, we can be discontented about all sorts of things, but a holy discontent is where God is really kind of birthing that in.
And so again, my wife and I entered into a season of very focused and intentional prayer. Initially, we were simply praying for clarity as to whether or not God was actually calling us out of Terra Nova Church, this church that we started, that we loved, and out of New York and out of the Northeast. And God confirmed that for us after about 2 months of prayer. Oddly enough, he used a hurricane, a natural disaster, to do so. In fact, this past week, 2 years ago, August 28th, 2011, Hurricane Irene hit our area, and rivers rose. The Hudson River, which we were on, rose 27 feet higher than it should have been, which caused one of our church buildings to kind of flood, like right up to the almost out of it, and our basement at our house caved in due to water pressure underground. Now, for those of you that have only spent your lives in Florida, basements, they're those things that go under the building. It's kind of like the utilidors under the Magic Kingdom. It's kind of like that, but it's actually the basement. It's not technically the first floor. So they're a real thing. It's not just at Disney. It's a real thing. So our basement caves in, which, you know, was great. That was really good times. We really enjoyed that. But remember, see, we had been praying for clarity. We'd been asking God for clarity. Was he really getting us ready to move? And when our basement caved in, we knew. I mean, we just knew that God was getting us ready for something else. And God went to us and said, you know, I am literally busting through the walls of your life. How much more clarity would you like? How much more do we need here, right? So we just kind of knew that God was up to something. And listen, I'm not saying that every time there's a tragedy in our lives that this is God trying to get our attention. I'm just saying that in that circumstance, in our lives, God used that moment and he used it to get our attention. And it was in that moment that God guided us a verse that has really come to define the last 2 years of my life. It comes from Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. This has become such an important verse for me. I could spend hours just on this. Listen to these words. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. And for us at that moment, it felt like God was breaking up the soil of our lives, figuratively and literally. And he was calling us to enter into a new season of abiding in his spirit, of pursuing his direction. Like, we knew that we were functioning at one level, and God was kind of saying, okay, it's time to move it up. It's time to kick this up a notch, to go to the next level on pursuing me. And when when God began to confirm this for us even more and more, he gave us just incredible clarity. He was very specific. We received a word from the Lord, and I don't use that term lightly, but we received what was a clear word from the Lord, and it was this. You will be moving in 2 years' time. You're moving in the summer of 2013. Just know it now. Don't worry about the details. We'll work that out over time, but you're moving in the summer of 2013. And that's kind of a specific direction from God. You don't get that very often. But we got it, and we knew it. It was very, very obvious. And so that season of prayer then has really lasted for much of the last 2 years. I think I've prayed more in the last 2 years than I did in the previous 36 years of my life, if I'm being honest with you. You know, the Old Testament prophet Nehemiah, in his burden for the city of Jerusalem, he talked about feeling like he was sick in the heart, that he was so burdened for what God was calling him to that he was just had this sickness in his heart. The psalmist David, who is never short on emotion, talks in Psalm 56 about tossing in his sleep. And then in Psalm 88, he talks about the words being on his lips the second he wakes up in the morning. And that's kind of how it felt for me in that season. I would go to sleep praying about this sense that God was getting us ready for something new. And then I would wake up in the morning and it would be right on my mind again. It was right there. When God plants inside of you this burning sense of purpose, and he whispers into your ear that it's time to take the comfort of the known and trade it for the unknown, that it's time to take the pleasantness of certainty and trade it for uncertainty, when it's time to pick up your family and take them from the only home that they've known and move them 20 hours south to this whole other place, this whole other culture. You want to be ready to say yes, and I want to be ready to say yes, but I'll tell you what, my personality type, man, I need some clarity on that before I'm going to make a move like that. And so that was my prayer again and again. God, I will jump off cliffs for you. If that's what you want me to do, I will trade the known for the unknown. I will step into uncertainty, even though it goes against my personality. But please, please just make it clear. Don't leave an ounce of question in my mind, because I know there's going to be hard days ahead, and I'm going to need that clarity to be able to look back on that and say, yes, God really did lead me very clearly. And God did give us clarity. My wife and I, around that time, went away on a kind of a combined solo spiritual retreat. What I mean by that is that we were together, but we were separate, and it was great. We ditched our kids for a week, and we spent this week in a free condo I had gotten on Anna Maria Island here in Florida. And it was awesome. We'd wake up in the morning, we'd go for walks on the beach, we'd stop by this coffee shop and get coffee, and then we'd spend the days separate praying and reading scripture and just kind of putting ourselves before God. And then we'd get together at night and we'd talk about what God was showing us and what we were learning. And it was just an amazing week. And it was during that time that God kind of began to hone in on the idea for us that perhaps we were being called to Florida. But here's the thing, okay? When you board a plane in Albany, New York at 6 a.m. and they have to de-ice the wings before you can even get off the ground, and then like 3 hours later you're in Florida and it's warm and it's sunny and you're sitting outside, you're having lunch and you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and it's January, like, it's not hard to feel like you might be called to move to Florida, right? I mean, this is not a stretch. And so even though there was this pull on our hearts towards Florida, I personally rejected it. Like, I just thought, okay, taking a step of faith doesn't mean moving somewhere where you want to go. It means moving somewhere where you don't really want to go, like North Dakota, right? Like, where it's just, there's just nothing. And so you're like, man, God's going to call me to nothing. That's stepping out in faith. And yet there was this sense that Florida could be a place that God was calling us. And as God had done in previous times in my life, he asked me to set aside 30 days to pray about Florida. And so I did that. I put a little iCal reminder in my computer and just kind of placed myself before God to say, okay, every day for the next 30 days, I'm just going to pray about whether or not you might be calling me to Florida. And so before I knew that Mosaic Church existed, before I knew that there was a campus here at Walt Disney World, before I knew any of that, I just prayed for 30 days about this. Now, here's the thing about prayer. Lots of people pray about lots of things and feel strongly led to go and do something, and God never actually told them to do it, right? Because on our own, we can kind of convince ourselves that we're supposed to do something. And so I knew that I shouldn't automatically trust what I thought God was saying. I knew that I needed the community of Christ followers around me in that. And so my wife and I were praying together about this, and yet we knew that even in that we needed others involved. And so we brought in other close friends and people that we knew we could trust, and we asked them to pray with us. I told my parents about this. My parents are just amazing Christians, and they are just so close with God and their faith, and they're prayer warriors. And so we knew that if we told them that we were thinking about this major change, we knew that they'd be praying every day about it. And so we told them that we were thinking about this major change, and they said, oh yeah, we knew that. I said, why? Well, because we pray for you every night, and in the last week or so, we've just had this sense every night that we prayed for you that God was getting you ready for something new. Okay, a little bit of clarity, a little bit of confirmation. I talked to others around the country that I trusted, and was hearing the same thing. And I even told my lead pastor, my boss at the time, that we thought God was going to be moving us in the summer of 2013, which is, you know, potentially a dangerous thing to tell your boss that you're leaving in a year and you don't really know where you're going, but, you know, you're going to be leaving. And so I told him, and he said, "You know, Phil, I don't want you to go, but you should pray about Orlando, Florida." Okay. See what God was doing? He was confirming his calling through the community of Christ followers. Proverbs 15 tells us that there is wisdom in many counselors. See, I could probably kind of talk to my wife and kind of say things in such a way that she would see it my way, and she could probably do the same to me, to be honest, because we've, you know, you spend enough time around someone, you kind of learn the tricks on that. But you start to bring in 5 people, 10 people, who are all tracking with Jesus, who are all pursuing God's Spirit, and you say, will you join in with me on this? Will you pray with me in this journey? Wherever God decides to take us, will you just commit to doing this with me for the next year? It's hard to trick 5 or 10 people into seeing things your way. And you know, I believe that God speaks to us through dreams and visions. We see this in Acts 2 when God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Well, around this time, there was this woman in our church who, she's just someone who, you just meet her and you just know she spends a lot of time with Jesus. She's just kind of in tune with the Spirit, and she's someone who just is always praying and always kind of hearing from God. And my wife had really wanted to tell her about this direction that we were praying about. And I kept saying, "No, I don't want to tell this woman, Carrie." I didn't want to tell Carrie about this because Carrie was on our staff, and I wasn't ready to kind of let this go out to the rest of the staff. And then Carrie came to my wife, and she said, "Look, this is crazy, but I had this dream, and in it, you and Phil, you moved away. You went to this other church, and it was great. I mean, we hated to see you go, but it was great, and God did some really cool stuff through you. And listen, I don't know if God's calling you out, but if he is, you need to be faithful to that, and you need to go. You need to just do whatever God wants you to do." So it's just one more level of confirmation. So I pray for clarity, and God gives people dreams. He gives my parents a word from the Lord. He calls me to pray for the city of Orlando for 30 days. He tells one of my closest friends in the world that I should consider moving to Orlando, Florida, and it all starts to fall into place, except for one thing. Remember what I believed God told me way back when I was a lead pastor at another church? That my job for the rest of my days was to come alongside of highly gifted communicator visionaries. Well, I still had no idea who that guy was. All I knew was that he was probably somewhere in greater Orlando. That seemed to be becoming clear. So, quick parentheses here. I mentioned earlier that I'm a bit of a Disney nut, one of those annoying people that bug you at your attractions. And this all kind of started for me about 6 years ago. I was planning a trip for my kids to Disney World. It's sort of a rite of passage for every dad to do that. So, bought a couple of guidebooks, and I read those cover to cover, right? Like the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. And in one of them, there was like a 20-page history of Disney, which is like 20 pages. Come on, I can do better than that on Wikipedia, right? So I had to go out, and I bought like the, you know, the big, massive 400-page history of Walt Disney World, right? And I read that cover to cover. And then in the process of reading that, I realized that Walt Disney, it's, you know, he's like an actual person, right? So I need to get his biography. And I read that cover to cover, this great biography. And then in the process of reading that, I was like, wow, he had this brother named Roy. And Roy was kind of like the executive director. He's kind of like the executive pastor, actually, in a lot of ways. Roy helped Walt, like, get his visions off the ground. And so I thought, I got to read about Roy now. And so I got Roy's biography, and I read that cover to cover, right? And so I'm kind of reading all this. And truthfully, over the last 6 years, I've read probably 20 books about Walt Disney World. I'm slightly ashamed to admit that, but I feel like this could be a safe place where I could admit that, right? Like you guys might get that, right? So I'm doing all this reading, and I'm having a great time doing all this research. And I haven't even mentioned all the websites and blogs that I've gone to, and the podcasts that I listen to, and the The fact that I started running really so that I could run in the Walt Disney World Marathon, which I'm doing in January. Very good. Anyone else going to be there with me? Anyone running it? All right, good. All right, cool. We'll talk after. So I planned this big trip for 2008, and we go to Disney, and it was awesome. And you would think that my research and that obsession would kind of come to an end after that trip ended, but it didn't. It didn't. It only got worse, much to my wife's chagrin. So it's true. It's true. So every now and then, you know, I would just kind of poke into different things, and I can't kind of keep on studying, keep on reading these different books and finding different things to look at. And over time, I realized this was sort of becoming a kind of a part of my life, right? And so a few years later, we're getting ready to plan our next trip. Well, fast forward now to late last year. Amy and I are still believing that God is going to move us. In the summer of 2013, we sensed that it's probably going to be the Orlando area. We had this strong and growing sense that that was where it was going to be, though we really didn't know how that was going to work out or where it was going to be. Others were confirming that reality in our life, and I decided, you know, it's been a few years since we've been to Disney. It's time to take the kids to Disney again. So I thought, you know, I'm going to just kind of poke into the iTunes store and see if there might be any new trip planning tools for Disney World. Normal thing to do if you're like me. So I go into the iTunes store and I type in Walt Disney World. And one of the first things that pops up is Mosaic Church at Walt Disney World. And I'm like, what is this? Is there really a church at Walt Disney? I mean, this is fantastic, right? Very good. So, and honestly, I remember the day that it happened like it was yesterday. I was sitting at a table at Panera Bread. I think I was trying to avoid working. And I remember when I saw this little thing pop up on the iTunes store, there was this little part of me that kind of just paused for a second, like, okay, I think God's about to do something here. Just pause for a second and just stop. And I did. I stopped. And I just prayed for a minute. I said, God, I don't know what this is. It could be nothing, or it could be everything. But whatever you want is fine. And so I clicked on it, and the first sermon listed there was the vision of Mosaic Church at Walt Disney World. It was the first sermon that from the very first service here, and I started listening to that, and Brady was sharing his vision, and I was just instantly captivated by what God was doing through this church campus whose sole purpose was to reach the cast members of Walt Disney World. I thought, who does that? Who starts a church for cast members at a theme park? That's just amazing. That's so cool. Who would do that? And so Brady was sharing his vision, and that was really cool to hear. And I was so excited for what was going on, I actually emailed Brady right away. I went and found his email address on the website, and I just said, hey man, look, this is so cool. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I love this. I'm kind of an oddly obsessed Disney guy, and I just think it's great. I just love what you guys are doing, and so I just kind of kept on listening to this sermon, and Brady was not the only one speaking that night. After he shared his vision, he invited Pastor Renaud Vanderreet from who you don't see much here. He was here a few weeks ago, but our lead pastor over all of this thing, this whole Mosaic Church thing, he comes up and he shares his vision for Walt Disney World, and kind of going back almost 10 years. And, you know, within about 60 seconds of hearing Renaud speak, I thought to myself, that's the guy. That's who I'm supposed to work for next. I just knew it instantly, that that's what I was supposed to do. And then I instantly dismissed it. I shut it out. I'll tell you why. Previously, in the course of praying about where God was going to take us, we really felt like we were supposed to stay with the network of churches that we were already a part of, the Acts 29 network. And I knew, because I'd been around the network for a while, that Mosaic Church was not a member of that. And yet I was so drawn to Renaud's teaching style that I decided that I would sign up for the podcast, and I began listening to that. And after a few weeks, I decided, you know, I should just email this guy and let him know that there's some random guy in New York listening to his podcast while shoveling snow, right? So I emailed him, and I just said, hey, you know, found your podcast in a totally random way. Love what you guys are doing with the Disney campus. I think it's awesome.
Just wanted you to know I'm praying for you. I'm at a church up in New York, an Acts 29 church, and I just love what you're doing. Keep on doing it. It's great. So a few days later, he emails me back, and he says, Phil, thanks so much for your email. It's great to hear from an Acts 29 guy. I'm actually in the process of joining Acts 29 right now. And so here, this major thing that was like, oh, I could never consider Mosaic Church, it's just taken away. God just checks it off and says, yep, I got that one. Don't worry about that. So you kind of realize, okay, God is up to something here. And I have to tell you that before I discovered Mosaic, I was really starting to question whether or not God was actually calling us out. I thought maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everybody's been wrong. Maybe all these different signs that have been coming along, maybe I just mistook everything. And really what it was is that I hadn't heard from God in about a month or two. And so I started to second guess everything. And really what it was is that God needed me to kind of step out over the cliff just far enough that I couldn't go back, but I didn't know exactly where my feet were going to fall. He needed me to get to that place of vulnerability where the only place I could turn was God. Because I knew that I had nowhere else to go. That God had just kind of called me out and said, all right, it's time. It's time for you to do something else. I'd already told my church there that I was going to be leaving. I hadn't told the whole church, but I told the staff, and yet I didn't know exactly where God was calling us. And this came along, and it was like, wow, God is bringing all of these pieces together. This Disney piece, and this Mosaic piece, and this lead pastor piece, and this Orlando piece that God had been birthing in my heart for a year and a half, and it just all these pieces started to fit together. And it's in that where you realize, this is not me. This is not me. All right, so back to the story. So Renaud and I, we scheduled this phone call, and a few days before this call happens, I was woken up at 5 a.m., just like bolt upright, wide awake. God wakes me up, and the first thing that he says to me is, pray for Renaud. Pray for Mosaic Church. Pray for all the people that are a part of Mosaic Church. Pray for the staff at Mosaic. Pray for the city of Orlando. And do that right now. And so I did it for a few minutes, and then I went back to sleep right away because I was tired. And the next morning, I wake up again, except this time it was 4 a.m., bolt upright, wide awake, pray for Renaud, pray for Mosaic Church, pray for the staff at Mosaic, pray for the city of Orlando. And look, you can do this now, or I can wake you up at 3 a.m. tomorrow. It's up to you, so you might as well just get up and do what I've asked you to do. So I get up, 4 a.m., and I go downstairs, and I start praying about this. And as I'm praying about this, I'm also thinking about this phone call that I've got scheduled with Renaud to talk about just Acts 29 and get to know each other a little bit. And I was excited, right? Because I'm thinking, hey, I'm sensing a call to the Orlando area. I'm talking with a pastor who's in the Orlando area. They've got this cool stuff going on with Disney. This is going to be a great phone call. I'm going to tell him all about the ways that God has been guiding me and calling me to the city of Orlando. And God said, yeah, actually, I don't actually want you to tell him about any of that. Just kind of keep your mouth shut. Don't tell him that you sense a call to Orlando. Don't tell him that you have a burden for this city. And I thought, why would I not do that? Why would I not tell him what is clearly the most obvious and important part of this whole story? And God said, well, here's the deal. If you tell him, then you get the glory. And I want to get the glory all for myself. So you just keep your mouth shut and just let me do this. So I thought, okay, I better obey. So I did that. I decided to keep my mouth shut. And it comes time for this phone call, and after kind of the initial chit-chat, Renaud says to me, says, hey, so I was having dinner last night with a pastor friend of mine in the Orlando area. It's a part of the Acts 29 network. And I mentioned to him that I was going to be having this phone call the next day with this executive pastor in New York who's a part of the Acts 29 network. And this other pastor says to Renaud, he says, oh, that must be Phil Taylor. And Renaud said, yeah, you're right, it is Phil Taylor. And he says, yeah, Phil Taylor, I've known him for a long time. He's a great guy. You know, interesting thing about Phil, he's sensing a call to the Orlando area. And so God just went ahead and said, look, I don't want you to tell him.
I've got a dinner meeting scheduled the night before, and he's going to find out there, so don't worry about it. And so God just went ahead, and he did that. And over the next few months, we continued the conversation, and I eventually came down here and interviewed with the elders and the team, and we moved here in the beginning of July. And as I look back over that two-year journey, and I asked myself, what is the most important thing that God showed me in all of that? What is the biggest, most important lesson in all of that? What I've realized is that it's really about where we find our wisdom. You know, I can find wisdom in all sorts of places. There's lots of great places where we can gain wisdom, right? Like if you're into, you know, business management stuff, you can find all kinds of great books on that, and you can read good books on that stuff. You can go to friends about wisdom for the future, and that's a good place to do that. You can go and take classes. You can find all kinds of wisdom and instruction in all sorts of places, and you'll get really good stuff in some of those places. But if we do that without bathing our needs in prayer, if we're not doing that, having them just completely covered in prayer, then at the end of the day, who gets the glory? Well, you do. I do. And I want it, because my heart's an idol factory, and I've got a statue in there that looks like me, and I like to worship it. Because that's who we are. We are self-focused, self-centered people. But God wants the glory. He doesn't want us to take the glory. And so I realized as I submit things to God in prayer, when I place myself before God and I open myself up to His guidance, when I open myself up to stories that are bigger than me, when I open myself up to this artist, God, creating something in my life that I couldn't have created, that people look in on and they say, well, that's clearly God. He couldn't have made that up on His own. Then God gets the glory. I don't get the glory. And so when we are committed to praying, humble, gut-wrenching, on our face, end of ourselves prayer, God gets the glory. And that has been the most important lesson that I've learned in the last 2 years, that God has just again and again said to me, look, will you just think and get out of my way and let me do this? Just stop. Just get out of the way. Yes, you can come up with all sorts of things on your own. I gave you a brain. You can make good decisions. But I want the glory. So just get out of my way. On my own, I am an arrogant, prideful, self-centered, self-seeking, self-promoting fool. But because Christ reached down and saved me, and He breathed His Spirit into me, and He called me one of His own, and He called me to His church, I get to do some great things, not because of who I am, but because of who God is. And then God gets that glory. And we all get to be a part of that. And that's the most amazing thing. That's the story that we get to be a part of. Revelation 4 reads this way. It's a great statement of worship, and I'm going to close with this. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. I'm so glad to be here with you guys. I won't be here every week, and yet I'm here in the sense that I'm connecting with Brady and others that are in leadership here, and I will be here probably once a month or so just because I love what you guys are doing. Just keep on doing this. This is amazing. This is so cool what God is doing through the Disney campus. This is really special what's going on here. I hope you guys know that. I'm going to pray, and the band can come on back up. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you call us together to study your word and to put ourselves before you, to be ready and to hear from you, and to know that as you guide us, it is all for your glory. That we think that it's for our wisdom and direction, that it's about us knowing what we're supposed to do next, but that it's really about your glory. So I just pray that we would know that we would rest in that, and that we would not hog the spotlight, but give it all back to you. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.